It is time for TY's 20 on WordPress Radio. What's up, sports fans? It is so good to be back. I took the summer off from making the show, but it's good to be back on the air, and I am ready to talk some sports. There's a lot going on, as usual. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the NBA season that tips off this week, and also talk a little bit about the World Series and the NFL, if time permits. If this is your first time tuning in, glad to have you. I've got a podcast once per month, and you can log on to tys20.com. That's tys20.com. If you go there, you'll find all my shows from the past archived, and they are labeled with topics that we discussed. And you can also follow me on Twitter at sports_tys_20. And now that all the self-promotion's out of the way, let's get to today's show. You know, I like to talk about all kinds of sports news on this podcast, but it's no secret that I talk the most about the teams that I cover, which are the Cubs, the Colts, the Pacers, and the Hoosiers. And for those of you listening that are Indiana sports fans, I gotta say this is a great time to be just that. I mean, first of all, let's talk about the Colts. A 4-3 start in what is supposed to be a rebuilding year. I had them winning maybe 6 games this season. They're already just 2 away from that. Now, it's way too early to talk about playoffs, but it's amazing that the Colts are even in that picture. Andrew Luck is the real deal, and this rebuild, if you can call it that, is already going a lot quicker than expected. And we're very spoiled as Colts fans to go from Peyton Manning and then one down year and then to Andrew Luck for the next 10 to 15 years. Very excited about these Colts. Then we have the Indiana Pacers getting ready to tip off their season on Wednesday of this week. And really, the first time in a long time, there are big-time expectations heading into a season for the Pacers. Now, I don't know if they have enough to win a championship, but they certainly have a great team that is fun to watch and really a chance to go deep into the playoffs once again this season. We love our basketball in Indiana, so it's great to see the blue and gold back to playing great ball, and we're going to talk more about the Pacers in just a few minutes. And then we have the Indiana Hoosiers, who have officially been ranked number one in the nation heading into the season. I can't remember the last time they were preseason number one. The sky's the limit for this team this year. And not only that, but the Hoosiers keep landing top recruits. It was reported today from sources that 2013 standout forward Troy Williams has committed to Indiana. He's another Jeremy Hollowell type talent, possibly even better than that. So the Hoosiers are going to be a top team for a really long time. And after what the program went through, it's great to finally see them return to the top. We'll have a full season preview for the Hoosiers on our next show, so be ready for that. So all things considered, it's a great time to be a fan of Indiana sports in general right now. And I know the Cubs aren't in Indiana, but for my preference, my sports teams, if only I can get the Cubs going, things would be perfect for the 4 sports teams that I love. But that's a topic for another day. Let's talk a little NBA now. The season is just a few days away. It officially tips off on Tuesday night, and the Pacers opener is on Wednesday night in Toronto. And with that, let's bring in our Pacers insider, Chris Goff. Chris has been talking Pacers with us for the last couple years. He is a staff writer and covers the Pacers on IndySportsLegends.com. Chris, as always, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Ty. It's good to be back with you.
Absolutely. I don't know about you, but for me, this has been a very quick off season. I guess that's what happens when your team actually plays for a while in the playoffs, like the Pacers did. Shortens up the off season, which is pretty cool. But Chris, let's first talk about the off season moves that the Pacers made. Larry Bird is gone. Donnie Walsh, Kevin Pritchard now running the show, and the Pacers didn't make a huge splash like I think a lot of fans wanted. But they still made some solid moves to improve the bench. So what do you think about the Pacers' offseason moves? And if there is such thing as giving them a grade, what grade would you give them?
Well, it's an interesting offseason because there was so much change, and you usually don't expect that from a young team that just went to the second round of the playoffs and has that kind of a core. But the front office, as you alluded to, changed. The bench changed. They paid about $30 million for Gerald Green, Yanni Hemi, and DJ Augustine. And I'm not really sure what to make of those moves, to be honest. when asked about it, I've generally taken a wait-and-see approach, because I think Augustine is certainly the best passer that the Pacers have had in years. He can set guys up. If he can do it on the 7-59 Bobcats, he can do it on the 42-24 Pacers with all the talent that he has around him. So he'll make the bench better in a sense, but he's a terrible defender. When he's in the game, the opposing point guards are just going to abuse him if they have any offensive capability whatsoever. So as far as him and Collison, I'm not really sure if they can come out ahead on that one. I do know that they come out ahead on Mahimi. He's so much better than Lou Amundsen, not only defensively, but offensively as well. In the first preseason game, you saw him hitting jump shots. You saw him dribbling around opposing centers, putting the ball on the floor, just things that were never in Amundsen's skill set. So, but Gerald Green is a guy who's not quite the defender that Dante Jones is. I mean, he's going to be the sixth man. He's going to be the scorer. I understand all that. But whether he's actually going to be able to fit into a 51 team and do the little things and be a role player on a winning team, I'm not sure. He's still a young guy. He just got back into the league after 2 years away. So you have your positives and you have your negatives, like with anything else. And whether the Pacers come out ahead, I think time will tell. But I think the front office is in good hands. You know, Bird retired and people were upset by that. But Donnie Walsh and Kevin Pritchard are two really, really talented front office guys, and I would trust them with the future if I were a Pacers fan. Looking at the next 4 or 5 years, they have a balance between Pritchard, who's aggressive. You know, he's a good scout. He's going to go around the country and look at college prospects. And then Donnie Walsh, who knows how to press buttons with other league executives. He's done everything that there is to do as far as running a franchise and building a winning team. So it was an interesting offseason. If I had to put a grade on it, I'd say a B plus or a B minus, you know, somewhere in there. And I only say that because you re-sign Hibbert, you re-sign Hill, those were good things, but you're not sure where the bench comes out. So if the bench is better, which it might be, you can A. You know, if the bench is not better, it's about an average grade as far as an offseason goes, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm with you, kind of a wait-and-see approach. I do know that the Pacers starters in that series against the Heat, they actually outscored the Heat in that playoff series. I think it was about 8 to 10 points per game, if I remember right. So strengthening the bench was something we needed to do. And I'm with you. I think I'm most excited about Mahinmi from Dallas. To be honest, I didn't know much about him until we traded for him. But the more I see him play, the more I learn about him, the more I think he's really going to help us out. I think Roy needs more rest, and we need to have someone back him up that's not out of position. So I love that addition. I do think Darren Collison's going to be pretty good in the Dallas system, but these moves made sense to me. Augustine, more of a pure point guard, which will help. I think Gerald Green is going to thrive here, bring more athleticism and scoring. And don't forget about Sam Young, who can really defend as well. I like the offseason moves, but like you, it's kind of a wait-and-see approach. But originally, I was going to give us about a B-plus, all things considered. And we are a very deep team, which is what you need when you don't have superstars. So we got that going for us, at least we believe. So now let's jump right into some predictions. We don't beat around the bush too much on this show. How many wins do you see this team winning this year? And what seed do you think the Pacers end up with come playoff time?
Well, I've said since the summer, I think at the high end, the number of games that this team can reasonably expect is about 50 to 52 or 53 wins. I think they would do very well to win that many games. I actually, if I were pressed for an exact win total, I'd have them at 49 and 33. I think there will be a little bit of a slippage as far as the health. They were a really healthy team last year, and the national media has actually really picked up on that. If Vogel wants to play a 10-man rotation, and it's really not ordinary for an NBA team to go through an entire season with a healthy 10-man rotation, so I would expect a few more injuries this year. But overall, this team is just very good. I mean, there's no reason to expect any serious slippage. There's no reason to think last year was a fluke, or that, you know, Paul George is not going to get any better, or you know, Danny Granger is suddenly going to go into the tank as he, you know, approaches age 30. I just think this team's in a really good position.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go maybe a little bit higher than you. I agree with the health thing, although I'm banking on the fact that we have a little more depth. Again, a wait-and-see approach, but hoping we have more depth to handle if we do have some of those injuries. I think the Pacers are going to win the division and ultimately finish as the 2 seed, but I truly believe, and you know, people will call me crazy for this, I believe the Pacers even have a shot at the 1. And first of all, let me just say that I'm not just being a homer of a fan. You know, I had the Pacers as the 4 or 5 last year, and they got the 3. I think the Heat are definitely the better team, but here's the thing. They seem to get a little bored in the regular season. They have not been a 1 seed yet with LeBron and Wade on the same team. And when you're a team like that, you're playing for a title or a bust, regular season games just don't excite you as much. And the Pacers might be able to take advantage of that. With that said, I still do have the Heat 1 and the Pacers 2, but we do have a shot, in my opinion. At the same time, we've got to be real careful here. The Pacers could also easily end up as a 3, 4, or even the 5 if they don't play well. The Eastern Conference has improved. Winning the Central isn't even a guarantee. We have to remember something here. It is not easy winning in professional sports. And I think too many times fans look at what a team did the year before and they just assume that they'll automatically do that or better. It's hard to win that many games. And think about this. If the Bulls hang around enough and then get Derrick Rose back, they still might be a player in this division. So anything can happen, but I'm going to go a little higher than you and have the Pacers at 54 wins and a 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. We'll see what happens. But speaking of the East, let's talk about the other teams a little bit. I know this is hard to do at this time of the year, but let's just make some educated guesses here at how the East is going to shake out this year from 1 to 8.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I kind of disagree with you about Miami. I don't expect the Heat to have any problem winning 60 games, and I'm not sure 60 games is a reasonable number for the Pacers. I sure think Miami improved, but, you know, actually, to me, I put them at number 1, and then you stated so eloquently, it's a really tight mix. The Pacers could fall as far as 5 or 6. I think if you look at the 2 through 6 seeds in the Eastern Conference, you're splitting hairs. And it all comes down to health and luck and all those teams, the Pacers, the Celtics, the Nets, the Knicks, the Hawks. I think they all have a chance to win between 45 to 50 games, and I just don't see much separation in the middle of that pack. There aren't too many elite teams in the East, but there are some very good teams. And I'll just run through real quick my early expectations. And, you know, I would run straight to Vegas and bet the opposite way, but I have Miami 1, Indiana 2. For the Pacers, it all changed when they signed David West, and, you know, he's just really changed his franchise. Boston, I love their offseason. I think they have a chance to beat Miami in the playoffs, the best chance, actually, of any other team in the East. But Doc Rivers, you know, he plays it easy in the regular season, so we'll put them at 3. Brooklyn at 4, the Nets, with their offseason going into the Barclays Center, their new home. I think they'll ride those electric crowds, and they'll score a ton of points all season. Darren Williams will be great. I have the Atlanta Hawks at 5. I love the Hawks, actually. I nearly put them at 3, because wow. When you have a front court of Al Horford and Josh Smith, and then you have shooters outside like Anthony Morrow and the guy from Chicago, I'm blanking on his name, Korver. Then you have Jeff Teague, who I think is a rising star point guard. I just think the Hawks are really good. I have the Knicks at 6, the 76ers at 7. You know, health is always an issue with those teams. Chemistry is always an issue with those teams. I'm not convinced Bynum can stay healthy for the Sixers, and even if he does, I think he's basically a wash. You give up Iguodala, you bring in Bynum, you trade out some problems for other problems. And then the Bulls at 8, and it's with Rose's injury, you know, you're looking at March. It's definitely going to be February before he comes back. How many games can he play? How quickly can he get up to, you know, his normal all-star level? I don't know. I just see Chicago as the same team that lost to Philadelphia in the playoffs last year. Without Rose, they were worse than the number 8 seed in the playoffs last year. So with Rose out most of this year, I just have them barely making the playoffs at 8.
I'll tell you what, though. If that happened and Rose was healthy, that would be one insane 8-1 matchup. In the playoffs, you just never know. The East kind of has what has typically been the Western Conference feel to it this year, where so many teams can just go the opposite way. I definitely have some differences than you. That's to be expected with the uncertainty of how this is all going to shake out. We do have the same 8 teams, but I've got a little bit different of an order. I've got the Heat number one. I do have the Pacers at two and the Celtics at three winning their division. I actually have the Bulls at four. I think they're going to hang around until Rose gets back. You know, as a Bulls fan, I would be concerned that he's going to rush back a little too soon, and that would really hurt their season. But I'm going to give them some props. They played well without Rose. I know it wasn't a huge sample size last year. And then I've got a few differences here. I'm going to have the Sixers, assuming Bynum can stay healthy. I'm going to put them at five. They got a really good coach in Doug Collins. I'm going to go Nets six, Knicks seven, and I know you like the Hawks, but I've got them actually eight. Of course, I could see them doing much better than that. But, man, it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be just a crazy season that tips off again in just a couple days. In terms of the playoffs and the Pacers, how far do you see the Pacers going this year? What kind of expectations do you have for the team? And also, while we're at it, why don't you go ahead and give us your finals prediction?
Well, I guess I'll want to start with the finals and work backwards. I'm still stunned that the Oklahoma City Thunder straight up James Harden, and all along I've been thinking that the chemistry and the continuity of the Thunder would keep them ahead of the Lakers, who have all that star power, but kind of like the first season of the Big Three in Miami, it all has to mix, it all has to come together, and that takes time. But I think with Harden gone, the Thunder are just not going to be the same team. There's going to be a real drop-off there, and I just don't see anyone else in the West that can keep the Lakers out of the finals. And I love the Miami Heat this season. I think they're even better than last year, and they're going to win the East. I don't see very many true challengers. But as far as the Pacers, though, I think we know what they are, Ty. You know, they want to play big and physical. It all starts with Roy Hibbert and David West. You're going to get the ball inside, and you're going to work it inside out. And they're going to draw a ton of fouls, and they're going to go to the free throw line. They're going to shoot a lot of free throws, which they usually hit at a high rate. And, you know, and you call it a day. I think that's a team that can go to the conference finals. I don't see any reason why they can't go to the conference finals and do battle with the Heat again. I don't expect that result. I expect them to win a round in the playoffs and then lose to the way I have the bracket drawn up, it would be the Celtics in the second round. So I have them sort of repeating last year's result. But the real question for me is just how they feel. For the first time, this group of players is really feeling the weight of expectations. And so how will they handle it? You know, how will they carry themselves? You know, Paul George is talking about making the All-Star team. Is he going to force shots? Is he going to disrupt the flow from last year? I don't think he will, but I think those are questions. And while you can get through the regular season, you know, working through those issues, I think to beat Miami, you just have to be plugging on all cylinders. And I don't think the Pacers are ready to beat the Heat yet or challenge for a championship or anything like that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And I got to say, even though I think the Pacers even have a shot at the one if a lot of things went their way, come playoff time, I could see this team being the third or fourth best team in the East in terms of a playoff series. I hope I'm wrong there. And I do think if the Pacers could somehow get home court advantage, it would obviously give them a much better chance, if not over the Heat, at least over Boston and those other teams that we were talking about. As far as the NBA Finals go, I think it's Lakers and Heat, as much as I hate to say it. Like you, I was probably going to pick the Thunder before the James Harden trade. I still think they're going to be a really good team, but I think the Lakers will get them there. The NBA as a whole seems to be a little more predictable than the other sports, but it's still exciting to think that the Pacers at least have a shot. At this time of year, as the season starts, it's nice to know that we at least have a chance. I'm sure you could agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's the best thing that could happen to this franchise. They need to bring up the attendance. They need to bring in some more revenue. They need to make sure that it's an attractive place for people to sign and re-sign. And the best way to do that is to find a core group of players who are good guys and who are winners, and I think that these guys are. And I think the Pacers, they have one of the best owners in the NBA, I'll say that, with Herb Simon. And as long as he doesn't sell the team, I think these fans are in good shape.
Absolutely, and you never know with in-season moves and injuries and all kinds of things can happen, so it's really exciting to be a Pacer fan. And once again, the season starts Wednesday night, and Chris, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be talking to you throughout the season, and once again, check out IndySportsLegends.com. Chris is doing great work covering the Pacers it's a great place to go for Pacers news. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, thanks, Josh.
That's all the time we have on the show this time around. And once again, like I said, we'll be talking about the Hoosiers preview next time that you hear from us. And as Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.